Welcome back, guys, to Bora Bola. This is match week 10, and we are going to talk about six matches today. Five matches today. We're going to talk about five matches today. There's a special El Sekiko that we're going to talk about at in the end of the podcast. So sit tight, all the El Sekiko fans out there. So, Ankil, bring us our first match of the day. The happy match of the day.
Oh, what's up, guys? Hope you guys are doing great. Okay, lah. We start off with the Blues, lah. The table toppers, okay?
They are currently the best in the league right now. Yeah. No cap, man.
Newcastle against Chelsea, a 3-0 comfortable win without their strikers. Actually, before I give it to Chinna to explain and break down the match, I would just like to remind everybody out there, lah. Okay. Regardless, you might have a world-class attacking, world's best attacking, which I consider Liverpool at the moment. Okay, I might be wrong, but
you are right.
You know, attacking will win you games, defense wins you titles, and these guys, this bloody Chelsea, is proving that week bloody in, Chelsea. Week out. You know, week in, week out. Okay, I've said what I have to say, Chinna. The floor is to you.
What your team can't do, Chinna? They can't defend. They can't score. What your team can't do, Chinna? Tell me what your team. I'm so jealous of you.
Okay. Let's just not get ahead of ourselves, okay?
Please, lah. Don't be humble and come on, lah, Chinna. Hey, you. Just what's the tell, lah, your part.
Okay. The match. Okay, it's always. I'm worried, you know, before we're gonna play Newcastle away, because
Bullshit. You
guys know Newcastle away, how hard it is to play Newcastle away, because last season you guys played against them and then they come back, you guys remember? So it's very hard to play against them away, because their fans is unbelievable, you know. Their fans is so unbelievable. You can, like, you know, hear the sound of the fans, like, you know, it will distract the players, you know. That's what will happen, you know, to the away players. It will distract them. So that's why home fans are very important. And Newcastle fans, I couldn't agree more. They are very, very good fans. They are loyal fans. And okay.
You know, to add on, Gina, especially with the newfound fans, lah.
There's a lot of new fans. So yeah, so let's talk about the match, lah. The match started like normal. 50, I wouldn't say 50-50. It was Chelsea, lah. Newcastle, basically, they parked the bus. Whole game, they parked the bus. They never attack. You guys know how they play. They give the ball to Alan Saint-Maximin and then they counter-attack. That's what they did the whole match. But until the 16th minute, this team scored. And then after a while, and then he scored the second goal. And then after that, we scored the third goal. Penalty.
A selfish penalty, lah, if you ask me.
Come on, man. Reece James deserved that.
Yeah, maybe Reece James. He should have given to Reece James. Like, Reece James, if he scored the goal, he is the first defender in Premier League to ever get a hat-trick in a match. You know?
Exactly. You see, a history.
He was up for a record and he blew it away. Like, come on, la. Jorginho. I know, holding the captain's armband, he should do what is necessary. La, but
I think he was just blinded by the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, probably. Probably, you guys probably right.
So the match, okay, la. Chelsea played good. Newcastle, I was disappointed, la. I thought they were gonna attack us and like play attacking football, but the full game they parked the bus. You know, I was like a bit disappointed, la, with them. Why are they playing like this and all? So yeah, that's all, la, for Chelsea game.
So nothing much, like, it's just a routine win for you guys, I guess.
I wouldn't say routine win.
Oh, please, la, Chinna, please, la. Don't be too humble.
That's all you guys have been doing, right? Winning, right? So, yeah, you know, to all those Chelsea fans out there, well done, you know. You got yourselves 3 points and basically extended the gap, la. You know, talking about the gap, like, let's talk about... Man. The Reds who bottled against this Brighton. Actually, yeah, guys, this match, I knew we were going to mess it up. I had a feeling, lah, honestly, because this Brighton, they have known to disappoint us. You know, previous season, if I'm not mistaken, we lost to them once.
We lost and drew with them.
So this Graham Potter likes to pull off a masterclass, lah, and that's exactly what he did. Yesterday in yesterday's match, la. It was really irritating because Padre, the first half, we were attacking good, we were playing good, you know, sad that we had a goal disallowed. But other than that, you know, attacking was good, we were gaining momentum, you know, Salah was there.
We were basically good.
Yeah, we were good. Up till the 30th minute, I would say. Then things started to take a change, lah. This Brighton players started attacking and started
aggressively.
Pressuring us aggressively,
especially, you know, in Konate's area.
We were losing second balls, third balls. You know, every time somebody clears, you know, like Van Dijk clears, aerial clearing, and then the ball will end up dropping to a Brighton player, they will start the attack. It was a pain to watch, lah. And then came that one ridiculous goal, lah. That one goal that actually started the comeback for Brighton. I mean, I'm not going to take the fact that it's a fantastic goal, but I think that probably Alisson would have saved it if the sun wasn't glaring. Okay, you guys can call me Klopp, lah. Okay, because I'm blaming on the sun, on the grass and all. But you watch the goal, you can see literally that Alisson was having a difficulty judging the ball due to the sun directly blazing in his eyes. So yeah, probably he misjudged the ball, and it was a fantastic goal, lah. So the moment it went in, I was like, ah, shit, here we go again, lah, these guys. And it the game pulled, lah, to the first half. And when the second half started, what I expected, like, okay, we have to score one more goal. And that's what happened, right, Padre?
Yeah.
Salah scored. But what? Offside. By the
offside. Then Bobby is supposed to finish the match, and he did not.
Oh, yeah, Bobby had a good chance. You know, Bobby was selfish today, lah, guys. Bobby was selfish, okay? He made slow passes. You know, our midfield was out. After Keita left, Chamberlain came. Don't ever, ever, ever pair Chamberlain and Jones. That's the one request I have to Klopp, lah. Don't ever. Yeah. Okay, it's worse than, you know, 2017, 18, when you have James Milner and Jordan Henderson, you know, the Brexit midfield with zero creativity. That's exactly what I saw here. Those guys were tiring out. Jones has to step up in his game. And then out of nowhere, the whole 45 minutes of the second half, Brighton took over and they were attacking, 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 and boom.
They scored. Lallana and Jeff for an amazing assist. And Klopp always said,
it was so frustrating. And even Klopp said, you know, guys, I didn't see the spirit in the boys today. They complained. It seems that our boys complained that the match was hard. Of course, every match is hard, lah. They should, regardless whether they are winning or losing, they should put the spirit. They should fight until the very end. That is Klopp's mentality, and I didn't see that today. You know,
maybe they were tired because of the
midweek Preston game. Probably.
I don't know.
So it was overall an upsetting game. Okay, but it's not a loss. Okay, but it feels like a loss, lah. To Liverpool fans, it actually feels like a loss. But it's
because
not the end of the world.
Points. It's the points. Exactly. You know, all these small teams is what cost us the point. That is
Don't worry, lah. Don't worry, Padre. Okay, the festive period is coming. A lot of games are coming. You know, straight up ahead. So
we're going to play Chelsea next teams, year. You know, next year we're going to play Chelsea.
Big teams will lose points. Hopefully, Chelsea loses points. You know, we will see what happens, lah. We will see how the table looks mid January and early February, lah. That's when we can actually see these teams taking a steady shape in the table, lah. On who is actually going to, you know, stay in their positions and who is actually fighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, with that said and done, let's move on, lah. The champions.
Exactly.
The defending champions losing out to Patrick Vieira's Crystal Palace. Guys,
this is your first win, right? Is this your first win?
No.
Historic win for Crystal Palace because they haven't beaten Manchester City at Etihad. So it's their first win, I guess, against Manchester City. But how did Patrick Vieira outclass the tactical genius himself? Guys, your
Wilfred
thoughts?
Wilfred Zaha.
We have seen Patrick Vieira, lah. We have watched Crystal Palace games and we have impressed with the way they play, their midfield and everything is like, you know, so well organized, their defense and attack. We saw the goals, lah. You saw their counter-attack, or no? How good their counter-attack.
Their counter-attack is clinical, you know, Chinna.
Yeah.
Like, specific players are the one that is carrying the game for Crystal Palace, or is it an overall team?
I feel I personally feel it's just two people, Gallagher and Wilfred Zaha.
Zaha, yeah. Gallagher and Zaha, they're linking up very well, actually.
That's what I feel like. Because midfield, the communication between midfield and the attack is very important. Just like what we watched last week, when we close the midfield, there is no communication. When there is no communication between the midfield and the attack, that is when the team shuts down. You know what I mean? It's true that defense is important, but when you shut down the midfield and there's no creativity, you cannot see runs making, you cannot see players making the runs, you cannot see creativity inside that, you can't see the through passes, you can't see the long passes. So this is where a team will be dead. So from there, from this match, actually City actually put on a good show, you know. Actually City played very well, but the problem is they had a red card.
They had
a red card very early in the game. Very early, right? Before second half.
Yeah, before the first half. Before the first half, yeah.
So it's like consider like very early in the game, you know. Of course, before second half is like they're going to make the tactical change and everything, and coaches are going to talk to their team. So when something like a red card happens, it discourages the team. So this, and Patrice Vieira is, if you ask me, during his Arsenal time, because of him, the midfield was as strong as it is, you know. So Patrice Vieira actually, you know, strengthened the midfield first using Gallagher. And then some of the experienced Crystal Palace and midfielders. And poof, they won with their counter-attacks. That's what Crystal Palace are doing now.
To add on to what you said, regarding the red card, actually a similar challenge was performed against Aubameyang, you know, in the Arsenal game. And that game, I mean, we're talking about similar challenge, similar distance, okay? I'm not saying it's exact distance, but similar. Okay, the distance was similar, and one was awarded a yellow card, and another one was a red card. So there is probably controversial, you know, it's a bit controversy, this decision.
End of the day, it's just the referees, man. It's all in the referees' hand. Just like one of the players say that, in that match, whatever the referee says is the rule.
Yeah, because they said that, you know, bringing in VAR, you know, video assistant referee is going to reduce this, but both games
is still the referees.
VAR.
Yeah, another is still the referees.
One was a red and one was a yellow. So, and the challenges are similar. Okay, guys, one is like both are vigorous, you know, stopping challenges. They're basically stopping the man. The last man is basically stopping the striker from going into a strike to score a goal, and that's what happened. And one resulted in a red and a yellow. So that is an interesting talking point, You know, and the Premier League should get this sorted
out.
If you ask me. Yeah, because it's not you know, fair.
Appropriate, you know, yeah, exactly fair. It's not fair for both teams at all.
Because this is the biggest league in the world, you know, they have to sort it out. Like, we have standards, Premier League should have standards, for this thing all.
Ooh, that's a big statement, you know, Chinna.
they should actually, you know. They should. I mean, looking at Premier League standards, you know, judging by how big Premier League is, they should, you know, have similar, you know, referees or at least trainings provided. So the decisions made are like close to the referees who, you know,
exactly.
You know, referees who are in UEFA Champions League and even World Cup for that matter, Decisions should be that professional, you know, unlike this, you know, season in, season out, we see Anthony Taylor, Mike Dean making stupid decisions from, you know, day in, day out, Seriously.
Yeah. They put their personal emotions inside.
Probably.
You get what I mean?
I'm not going to get into that, because that will start another big topic and an argument, with certain fans. So we leave that aside and we move on, The Gunners took down Leicester City 2-0. Early kickoff game. Fantastic win. Guys, is Arteta proving himself late? But it's never too late. But he's proving himself that he's still a better manager than Ole. Your thoughts?
We can't deny that. He's a better manager. Tactically, he's a better manager than Ole. The difference is Ole has a lot of stars in his team. And in Arsenal, he has a lot of young players.
Young players.
Yeah, so they are developing, and Arteta is actually doing a good job. I'm not comparing Arteta and Klopp here. I'm not comparing. When Klopp came, he had the same kind of team, you know, with the low mentality not really good players, and the same thing is happening to Arsenal now. He should develop them now.
Yeah, exactly. So most of them, I feel like the last season,
the end of that part, and the beginning few games of this season was more to getting the chemistry and the link up lah, right, for the team. Like, you know, for these main key players lah, like Smith Rowe, Saka, Aubameyang, you know, they're trying to get these guys to know, like, you know, when I close the eye and I pass the ball, I know you, you know, to get that kind of a chemistry. And once they got that, they are blazing. They are blazing and they are going good, because it's not easy to beat Leicester. And they
Exactly. That's the thing. Because when Arsenal started in the beginning of the Premier League, the whole team was new, you know. The whole team was new. And then came in the Japanese right back, where they need to, like, put in a good chemistry form between each other. So, and now we can see the benefits, the fruit of their effort, you know. The chemistry where Aubameyang leading them up front. Lacazette played very good, you know. In that match, Lacazette played very good. Lacazette. And then, you know, the midfield was superb. Saka actually was phenomenal on that day. He was making the runs in. He was hardworking, you know. He didn't, that England match that happened didn't actually discourage him in Premier League, you know. And that's very rare among young players nowadays.
Yeah, he's very young, you know. I think he's like 19 something, and he's very good, you know. He's very young.
He's young, and you know, he didn't stop him, he didn't discourage him, you know. He put his emotions aside and just focused and be determined, you know, to improve his game. So if England were to arrive at a similar situation in the future, I think that he will step up and he will...
He will make up for
the penalty that he missed. Overall, fantastic performance from the Gunners. One simple meme I saw. August 20th in the table. October 5th in the table. That sums up Arsenal's performance.
Same points with Man United. Let's point that out also.
You know, from battling for relegation into this, it's a big thing, guys, you know. Yeah. I am not an Arsenal fan, but I am very happy for the performance. Overall, fantastic win for Arsenal, you know. Keep the momentum going. We will meet you guys in 2 match weeks. I think we should be the one to, you know, probably lay
grab that point.
But we will see. We will see how it happens. So with that, let's move on to the last match.
The
big match. El Sagico, the Spurs, Nuno's Spurs against Ole's Devils. Guys, Cristiano Ronaldo to the rescue again. Your thoughts on this game?
I watched the match full 90 minutes. I think Padre, he didn't watch the match because he had like a lot of work to do in the morning, next morning. Yep. So I watched the match. First half, Spurs midfield is almost like non-existent, because they have midfield. I didn't know where the midfield was, you know, like they were struggling to string 3 passes together. Man United has dominated them all over the pitch, you know, from defense, from midfield to forward. Man United were looked like Liverpool. How Liverpool against Man United last week?
That's a big statement.
I'm just giving you guys an example. They exactly looked like Liverpool against Man United last week. That's how they played. I don't know if that's how they play or how shit Spurs playing. I don't know about that, but they are playing good luck.
But we all know when Ole's job is under threat, United, the actual United will pull up. Okay, the prime United will pull up, and you know, with Rooney pull up, with Cristiano Ronaldo and you know Cavani by his side, guys, do we need to tell the way they tore them apart? It's overall, you know, I think that in my point of view, I think that Nuno should go first, give Ole more time.
I have to agree with you because Manu need to go for more of an adventure right now with the team, and then especially the manager they are, right? But
one thing that got me laughing was the fact that Fred was up there, you know, attacking. I was like, he's a midfielder. And what is he doing up there with the attackers?
So you just imagine how terrible Spurs played.
up till the point where, you know, the defensive midfielder is actually going up to help out with the attack.
You call him that desperate.
Well, that's his position, lah. That's what they state him as. So I'm not going to change him. You know, but overall, fantastic performance. Thank you very much for keeping Ole in, lah. You know,
amen,
this is sincerely from the rest of the world, lah. So if you ask me to sum up this whole match week, lah, only two parties were happy. One was Chelsea fans. Another one was Arsenal fans. MU fans, they were sad that they won. Okay.
Liverpool fans, even Spurs fans are happy, you know. I think they're going to sack Nuno.
Yeah, you are.
And according to the current news that we got, lah. Okay, I don't know if it's true or not. They have actually like contacted Antonio Conte and made a deal with him, really. So if Antonio Conte is coming to Spurs, we all know what's going to happen, lah.
Ooh, it's going to be a bit tough because that fellow knows how to use Kane, Son, especially Son, you know.
Yeah, and the guy who mastered parking the bus technique, right? Because there was Mourinho who invented it, but then there is also Antonio Conte who mastered it.
So I don't know whether to look forward or not, but if you ask me, if Premier League is going to get even harder, then let it get harder. But Manu fans out there, I know you guys are sad that Ole is still riding the bus, but just be happy with this.
No
week,
worries.
Okay?
I'm betting on Ole is gonna win against Atlanta and Ole is gonna beat Man City. I'm betting on it.
So I will take the win. I will take the two wins. But you know, I'm waiting for the Blues to drop points, lah. You know,
we need to catch up, man.
No, actually, I don't.
Come on, guys. Come on. Chelsea is just closing gap. Okay, we are not really wants to win the title this season.
Chinna, if you're in front of me right now, I'll punch your stomach like a punching bat, like I'm Rocky. You know, please, Chinna, don't.
No, actually, I don't know if you guys realize this or not. Like, just a fun fact, lah. Before ending, a lot of managers now. Okay, I using this lah. This formation is becoming a trend. You know, the classic 3-5-2 formation. You know, they overload the midfield. That helps out with the defense and also quickly to, you know, break the attack. And there's too many people leading the attack, making the opposition's, you know, defense to struggle lah with the number of players attacking, you know, in the counter attacks. And in terms of defense, literally the whole squad can drop back, you know, with five midfielders. You know, it's becoming a trend. It's not just Chelsea using it, you know, like you see Brighton using it. I've seen a couple of teams using it, you know, and it's effective, like, especially against Liverpool. we have a trouble, you know, because we don't have solid midfielders at the current time. And even Atletico did that. They overloaded the midfield, and as time grew, they grew into the game, and basically we were making a big mess out there because we couldn't handle the midfield, which led us to losing balls and starting the counter attack for the oppositions, lah. And
let's,
you know, Van Dijk is not up to form.
Yeah, Van Dijk is not up to form. Also,
let's just hope that, you know, Mati plays, lah, because Konate is a bad choice, lah, this game. You know, Klopp made a lot of tactical errors, but it is what it is. And thank you, Mike Dean, very much. Thank you very much. You know, but it is what it is.
Any last words for your Chelsea?
Blue flag flying high.
The sun will shine on us again.
Shut up. Good God.
Okay. So with that, we will end the podcast for today, lah, guys. You know, hope you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Don't forget to visit our Instagram page.
Don't forget to like, share to your friends, you know, to your footy friends. You know, we'll appreciate. If you've got any comments, please drop us a DM. We're always listening. With that, Uncle signing out.
Bye.
Yalla. Bye-bye.